Yes, my name is Bill Fries, and I'm the science policy analyst at Center for Food Safety.
We've been hearing a lot about dicamba herbicide in the last week. Let's just briefly take a look back. I know the week of June 1st, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decided to ban the registration of three dicamba products. Earlier this week, the EPA responded to that ruling with a cancellation order. And last night, the Center for Food Safety, along with the other plaintiffs in this case, filed an emergency order with the courts. My question, my first one for you, is have you heard back from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on the next steps yet?
No, we haven't. It's, as you said, it was just filed yesterday.
When do you all expect a response from the courts? It's an emergency action, right? So maybe they would move that up a little bit?
Yeah, I really can't predict. I don't think that there's a set time frame for a response. But, you know, we're hoping for a fairly, quick turnaround and response, given that this is spring season, and this is when, you know, we've started to see a lot of dicamba complaints in past years.
What's the ultimate goal of this litigation?
Well, you know, we've achieved it with the court's vacation, you know, vacating the three. Actually, and just to correct here, EPA has intentionally misinterpreted the court's order. What the court did was they vacated the use of Extendamax, Fexapan, and Engenia only for those uses on Xtend crops, right? Xtend soybeans and cotton. Those same dicamba formulations are registered for many other uses, conventional uses, and those remain. So, you know, the pesticides themselves, right? These herbicides themselves have not been like revoked. Their registrations have not been carte blanche revoked. It's only those particular uses. So EPA is pretending that there's no registration whatsoever now and is then going through this whole cancellation process as if this were its own process rather than a court decision to revoke these uses immediately, which is what the court did on June 3rd.
In response to the filing of the emergency order, what's the plaintiff's plans if the court does not rule in the plaintiff's favor?
I'm not the attorney on the case. So, I mean, I think the important thing, you know, is to recognize that, you know, we've had 3 years of just massive and unprecedented drift damage with, you know, lots of soybeans being injured from light damage to very severe damage and great yield loss. You know, there's been in South Dakota, a Little Shire farm, this vegetable farmer in South Dakota has had basically his vegetable farm destroyed. It's been hit several times by dicamba drift. You know, it's like there's a fruit orchard in the Boot Heel of Missouri, Bader Farms. It's been hit by successive waves of dicamba drift, lost tens of thousands of trees, forced to sue Monsanto for damages, and recently won a case. I mean, these are just a few of the examples. Tobacco growers, you know, a University of Missouri soybean breeding center, right? These are public sector scientists who are breeding new traits in soybeans, like disease resistance, right? They've gotten hit by dicamba drift several times and have lost $500,000 worth of research, basically an entire year's worth of research. And these are the sorts of damages that we've been seeing. And yet EPA and the registrants, Monsanto and the others, have completely ignored these harms, either ignored them or denied them. All right. It's just, it's almost a beggar's belief that they could just turn such a blind eye to all of these harms and then only, you know, show concern for, you know, the growers who are using the Xtend system.
Is the ultimate goal to have an impact on the companies that are making the products or impacting the growers, you know, that are applying the products?
No, it's basically we're trying to, we have farmers actually. Now, the National Family Farm Coalition was one of the plaintiffs in our case, right? I mean, we're very concerned about the effects of this dicamba drift, both on, you know, on the environment and on farmers too. I mean, this is not the typical case, Kara, where, and I know a lot of farmers will try to put it in this bin of environmentalists trying to infringe on, you know, the farmer's freedom to farm. What's happening is that the farmers who are using these Xtend crops in the Xtend system, they're impinging on other growers' freedom to farm, right? One of the court's findings, and this has been very, you know, backed up very clearly in the farm press, is that a lot of farmers have started to grow Xtend soybeans just to protect themselves. You know, they don't want to use, you know, Xtendimax. Maybe they don't need it. They're just trying to avoid the damage, right? That's like extortion, basically. It's like you buy our seeds or else. You know, so we've had this situation where farmers are pitted against farmers, and it's been incredible strife in a lot of rural communities. You know, and that's just unacceptable. I mean, these are defective products. They never should have been marketed. The companies, shame on them for bringing these products to market, and shame on EPA for accepting their junk science and, you know, rubber stamp approving them.
Can you explain the Center for Food Safety's thoughts when EPA issued this emergency order earlier this week?
Yeah, we were dumbfounded because it was so clearly a willful misinterpretation of what the court said. The court's ruling was very clear. It said, these uses of Xtendimax, Vexapan, and Ingenia are vacated. That means revoked. So immediately then, these herbicides were not meant, you know, it was no longer legal to apply them to Xtend soybeans or cotton. Now, you know, we acknowledge it's unfortunate that this decision had to come at the time it did. We would have wished it to have come earlier, you know, so that farmers could have had time to make decisions. In fact, we challenged EPA's 2018 extension, a two-year extension, immediately after they did it in late 2018. And EPA dragged their feet, and that extended the whole, you know, court case, unfortunately. So a decision could have come earlier, and it would have been good if it could have. So that's unfortunate. It wasn't in our control when the court, you know, made the decision.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say on the emergency order?
No, I mean, I just think the EPA and their cancellation order, if you read it, it's exactly like their actions over the past 4 years, ever since Xtendimax and the others were originally approved. There's not one iota of, you know, recognition that these herbicides have, you know, caused such massive drift damage that everyone agrees that they've caused, except for, you know, the company. So that in itself is pretty damning.
Bill, we see where there's also a lawsuit filed on Enlist. Do you mind speaking to the next steps of that and where things are at in the legal process there?
Yeah, we've challenged Enlist Duo, which, as you know, is a premix of 2,4-D and glyphosate that's meant for use on crops that are resistant to the two herbicides. And, you know, it's interesting, 2,4-D, and as I'm sure your listeners know, it's in the same family as dicamba synthetic. It's a synthetic auxin herbicide, also called plant, you know, growth regulators, and it has some of the same properties. It's volatile, so you can have, you know, and we've seen a lot, you know, throughout the history of 2,4-D, there's been a good deal of, you know, drift injury. Back when it was introduced in the 40s and 50s, you know, granted they were different types of 2,4-D, but it was basically one of the factors that led to the closing of a lot of vineyards in the Midwest, you know, through 2,4-D use on corn, because grapes are incredibly sensitive. You know, now granted, the 2,4-D choline is different and it's not as volatile as some of the older 2,4-Ds, but there is still, we believe, a clear, you know, drift hazard, and that poses both environmental risks as well as risks to crops. And in 2018, for instance, we've seen a decent number of complaints of 2,4-D drift damage to cotton, and that is likely from the spraying of, you know, Enlist or Enlist One or Enlist Duo on some of the Enlist cotton in more southern states. But as of yet, we haven't seen much Enlist soybeans, for instance, and some of the larger acreage crops. But yeah, so we see a lot of the same issues. The EPA's assessment of the Enlist Duo, the volatility assessments, is very similar to the one they did for dicamba. And for dicamba, EPA said, you know, we're not going to have any vapor drift beyond the edges of the field. You can spray the field and volatility is not a concern, which is obviously completely wrong. So that makes us suspicious of, you know, this whole assessment of Enlist Duo too.
Where are things at in the process with that?
Yeah, boy, I should have looked this up. We've worked on both of these cases, and yeah, I'm really not sure, to be honest with you.
Is there anything else you'd like to say that maybe we didn't cover in the interview, Bill?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's unfortunate that there's so much reliance on these particular tools in the toolbox, to use the analogy that folks like so much. Sometimes I get the sense that for some growers, there don't seem to be any other tools. It's either dicamba or nothing, or maybe dicamba or 2,4-D or nothing else. And if there's really a toolbox, and you know there are a lot of other tools, I think growers would be well advised to start, you know, exploring those tools, and you know, not you know, committing themselves to the use of these hazardous herbicides, which put, you know, their neighbors at risk. And you know, I know there are principled farmers who have just said, hey, you know, these herbicides are really effective. I like the way they kill, you know, my water hemp or my Palmer amaranth, but you know, they're just too hazardous. I'm not going to subject my neighbors to those risks, right? There are farmers who say that, but unfortunately, there are others who, you know, are just go ahead and use it anyway, and either try to tell their neighbors you should be, you know, growing Xtend as well, so I don't have to worry about drifting on you, or, you know, I don't, you know, you're a vegetable farmer and you're not a real farmer. I don't care about you. That kind of attitude is also prevalent. And I just, that's kind of sad. I think there's been a lot of, you know, dissension because of these products. And that's one reason they need to be removed from the market.
What's the Center for Food Safety's take on a product like Tavium, which is similar to some of these other products?
Yeah, we didn't challenge Tavium. It was a part of a whole different process at EPA. The one thing I know about it is it's similar to the other three, except a big difference, of course, is that it's a premix. It's not only dicamba, but it also contains metallochlor. So that makes it different. One of the differences is that on the label, you're only supposed to spray to soybean growth stage V4. Whereas with Xtendimax and the others, you can spray later up until the beginning of the reproductive stages. And similarly with cotton, you know, it's also an earlier cutoff. And I believe that's because of the presence of the metallochlor and crop injury concerns. But I'm not sure how big of a difference that would make. It would probably mean that you couldn't spray quite as late in the season, which would, you know, be somewhat better. In terms of volatility and crop injury, but you know, it is still dicamba, and we've learned over the past 3 years, dicamba is a very volatile and hazardous chemical.